What is up? What is up, Sacramento? It is the takeover. That's right. It's your boy Drapes holding it down with Jay Johnson here on the Drive Guys, Sactown Sports 1140. I'm taking over the next 4 hours. I arrived home yesterday from Toronto, watched that Kings game, and I tell you what, Kings fans, I'm upset right now. Can I say I'm pissed off? Well, I'm pissed off right now on the radio. My guy Kevin Gleason, Whitey, he's not here today, feeling under the weather. Whitey, we hope you feel better. No word, no official confirmation if Whitey is sick because of last night's Kings game, but I know we're all ill today because of what transpired. The Sacramento Kings lost to the worst team in the entire association. That's right, the worst team in the entire association, the Washington Wizards. And so we're going to do something different today, Kings fans. You know, I come on this show, I give you Drapes takes. Trust me, we'll still have that. I tell you what I think. Whitey tells you what he thinks. Jay tells you what he thinks. But this is your show, Sacramento, and I know you're frustrated right now. So we're going to open up the phone lines for the next 4 hours, 916-339-1140, 916-339-1140. You can also text us and hit us up on the YouTube chat as well, Sactown Sports 1140. Let me tell you what's coming up on the show. Of course, we're going to dive heavily into what happened last night in the nation's capital. I still can't believe it. I still haven't been able to sleep after what happened yesterday. We're going to dive into that coming up at the bottom of the hour. We got my guy Chris Mannix of SI.com joining us for an outsider's perspective on what is wrong with our Sacramento Kings. So please hit us up, 916-339-1140. Jay Johnson.
Let's go, Sacramento.
I'm going to tell you this. I had a travel nightmare yesterday coming back from Toronto.
Oh, yeah, again?
Yeah, dude, I always got something. We'll get into that because I want to hear other people's travel nightmares. I can't be the only one that struggles when it comes to travel because it was awful yesterday. And I'll get into that coming up in a little bit. So I didn't watch the Sacramento Kings game live. You know, I had it on my phone looking at the updates and everything like that. I'm like, man, we're down after the first quarter. It's all good. We still got three quarters left. Man, we're down at halftime. It's okay, Kings fans. We'll be okay. We'll come back. It's the Wizards. They always give it up. And then I see that we lost the game. We lost the game. I'm not talking about practice. I'm talking about the game. We lost the game to Kyle freaking Kuzma. We made Kyle Kuzma look like Kobe Bryant last night, Jay. That had me upset. And so I know I got 4 hours. I don't want to blow all my energy. I don't want to blow all my energy, Jay, but I'm coming in hot today, man.
Oh, man, come on in hot, brother. Unlike your plane, you know, your flight, even though, thank the Lord, you hear safe sound, look like you all in one piece. Sounds like you got your voice and you're ready to go. I will say this before we get going, brother. I missed you yesterday on the call.
Really?
I did, man. I actually went to a friend's house and, you know, I don't get to see the Kings call quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like, we've had that discussion on this show. And I missed it, man. You know, anytime I get to see the Kings play, I'm looking for Drapes, man. I'm looking for Drapes takes. I'm looking for Kyle Draper. I'm looking for the stomp on the feet. I'm looking for, you know, I'm looking for everything that we, you know, everything that we could possibly do. And so when I didn't get it, I just felt a little different. All respect due, you know, Mark is a legend in the game.
Professional.
He's been working longer than I've been alive. Shouts out to him meeting his wife here in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. He told that story, you know, that type of situation over at Hughes Stadium, Sac City. But for me, I'm always looking forward to Drapes, brother.
I appreciate you, man, and thank you. And I see some of the comments on the text line on YouTube as well, 916-339-1140. It felt weird for me yesterday not to be a part of the game action. Because even when Mark's on the call, Jay, at least I'm doing pre and post game.
Right.
You know, at least after the game, I'm keeping it real. I'm voicing the frustration that we all feel after last night's game. But I had to sit by myself with that, bro.
I know, that's tough.
You know
man.
What I mean?
You have to soak in it.
I wanted to text you guys, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to save it for the show. But that, you know, worst loss of the season.
Completely.
By far. And people say, oh, what about Detroit at home, Drapes? Nah.
Nah.
Nah. And I want to start off, Jay, I need to apologize to the people out there.
Okay.
I need to apologize to you. I need to apologize to Sacramento Kings fans because I was duped. I was hoodwinked.
Uh-oh.
I was bamboozled. I thought the team had turned a corner. I thought the team had, you know what? All those losses to Charlotte, to Detroit, Portland, That was the old Sacramento Kings. These boys have been locked in. And I understand they got to D.C. at around 2:30, 3 in the morning. I understand it's the second night of a back-to-back. I get it, Kings fans. I get it, Sacramento Kings players. But there is no reason why. Because as you know, Jay, Washington, with 11 wins on the season going into that game, Washington, 11 wins. Those guys already got their off-season plans booked. Their wives and girlfriends already got their bags packed to go to Cancun or wherever. They're not trying to win basketball games right now. Nah. How'd they win that last night?
If I was Sway, I would have all the answers. But I don't have all the answers. You know, and Kanye said. And so I just don't know, man. I completely agree with you, though. I said this to, you know, Twitter or whatever the case may be, but I'm going to say it right here. I think it is the worst loss in the season, and for two reasons for me, Drapes, is this. The timing of the loss, yeah. You have 13 games left. Mm. And the second part of it is you just can't lose to the worst team in the league.
Right.
And I get the Pistons, Portland, Charlotte, you know, we could continue.
Yep.
The Houston losses aren't starting to look too bad.
Right.
Like these guys are, they're starting to bang. But the other part too, and I haven't seen much from it, and it might be my fault. You know, we are busy and it is our job to stay up on it. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't seen an update on Brandon Ingram just yet as far as today.
Shams did put something out. Shams did put something out on Brandon Ingram. Let me pull it up. I got it right here. 6 hours ago, suffered a bone contusion in his left knee. Is expected to miss at least 2 weeks.
Okay, so that's what I saw. Yeah. So I'm just making sure I hadn't missed anything else. 2 weeks, that's the season almost.
That's the season.
Right? And so the last game for the Kings is the 15th, I believe.
Yep, Portland at home.
That's Sunday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Yep.
So if we go 2 weeks from April 1st, that's 2 weeks. So really, he's probably got a week left, which means one or two games, right? And then it's going to be tender. It's probably going to be a little bit sore.
Right, yep,
and they may just say, look, we've locked in a position of fifth or fourth or sixth or whatever they want to, you know, they're playing for, and we're going to sit Brandon B.I. into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, the Kings didn't know B.I. had got hurt, but as a fan, we have the opportunity to see, look, we're dealing with injuries. When I say we talking about the Kings. Yep. If B.I. is to get hurt, that's huge for the Pelicans. Huge.
Huge. Massive.
I'm compounding all three, Drapes. The time of the loss, who you lost to, and the fact that B.I. is gone for 2 weeks, you might have some gravitational pull.
Yes.
You may be able to bring them back towards you.
And can I give you a fourth one
Come on, real quick?
They lost last night to Orlando.
Man. Come on.
You went in yesterday, Jay, two games behind the Pelicans for the fifth spot. They lost, so you could have gained another game. You could have woke up today just one game out of the fifth.
Yes.
And that what makes this loss even worse. Everything you just named and that as well. And so hit us up, 916-339-1140. We'll take your calls coming up in a little bit. We'll also have Drapes takes. And I watched the game on replay, Jay. And I knew what I was going to watch. I knew, because I already knew the final score. But I wanted to see how it unfolded.
Mm.
And you take away the two big runs that the Kings had to end the second quarter and then the fourth as well, in the third or in the fourth, the Wizards outplayed them.
Yeah.
They outclassed them. And I know there's a lot of people out there. I done seen your tweets. I done seen your comments talking about Mike Brown. Got a guy talking about Keegan Murray. I see it all. We're going to address that. But to me, what I saw last night was four or five things that had me upset.
Mm.
It's not just Mike Brown and his rotations that I'm upset about. It's not just De'Aaron Fox taking 30 shots. And not just Keegan Murray hitting his first four shots and then not seeing the ball the rest of the game. It's not just the lack of on-ball defense. It was everything last night seemed to go wrong for the Kings. Like, we handed it to the Washington Wizards. You know who the Washington Wizards are like? You ever played Mike Tyson knockout back in
the
day? Glass Joe.
Oh, they're Glass Joe?
They're Glass Joe.
The first person.
All you got to do is hit them once, big fella, and they going out. They going out. That's who the Washington Wizards are. But we made them into Buster Douglas. Dang. They weren't Glass Joe
yesterday.
It was
Ball Bull.
They were Ball Bull. Exactly. That's how they were. You remember that game growing
up?
That was the game.
Come on.
And so
Sandman.
We let these boys off the hook yesterday, and we gave them their 12th win of the season. Oh. All right, we are just getting started. Chris Mannix at the bottom of the hour from SI.com. Drape's Takes coming up next. And, of course, your phone calls, 916-339-1140. You're listening to The Drive Guys on Sactown Sports 1140. Back here on The Drive Guys, Sactown Sports 1140. Coming up, we got your calls, 916-339-1140. Chris Mannix of SI.com will be joining us as well to get a national perspective on what's happening with the Kings. I want to give a shout out to my guy Kevin Gleason Whitey, a little under the weather today. I see you guys are wondering where he is at today. You know, Whitey's funny, man. He's the only dude I know that's going to call in sick from the parking lot of the office.
Yeah, he was like, hey, I'm outside. Man, if you sick, stay at home.
Keep your butt at home. It's not like he the president and he got the nuclear codes and need to come in. Bro, we're just doing radio, man. So take your time, Whitey. It's the takeover today. Drapes and Jay, we got you covered. Got your phone calls coming up in just a little bit. But we are reacting to what happened last night in D.C. The Sacramento Kings falling to 40-29. With a 109-102 loss to the Washington Wizards, a game in which the Kings' biggest, largest lead was 2 points. Yeah. They led by 2 at one point. The Wizards, meanwhile, had a 19-point lead. And we're going to get into Drape's takes, right? I know, Jay.
That don't even sound good,
don't sound
man.
Right.
Like, coming out of your mouth, brother, that don't even sound right. Like, to the point of... It's I'm starting to feel like Whitey, like my stomach. I'm feeling achy. I'm not feeling right, but I am excited for Drape's Takes, man, coming up.
Yeah, let's drop it. Drape's Takes right now.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down.
Drape's Takes brought to you by Alsco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Alsco Uniforms. All right, I got to start off by saying this. Kudos to the Washington Wizards. They picked up their 12th win of the season. Maybe arguably their best win of the year. But if we're being honest, Jay, if we're being honest, you know how they do in soccer overseas where they relegate a team?
Yes.
Contraction or whatever. That's the Washington Wizards.
They're going down to the B?
Right. They should be a glorified G League team.
Oh.
And that we let Corey Kispert, we let Denny Avdija, we let Jordan Poole laugh in our face and beat us last night. That does not sit well with me, man. You can't lose. I would have rather lost to the Raptors than these jokers we saw last night.
They were close.
They were close.
They were close.
They were close.
Don't ask for something that could have happened,
too, right?
But I get what you're saying.
But seriously, the Wizards, and let me start off by saying this, man. When I look at the numbers and look at the eye test and what I saw last night, a lot of people want to get on Mike Brown. His substitutions were questionable. Keon Ellis last night, 20 minutes. Keon's been one of the best players over the last 2 weeks. How come Keon didn't get more minutes? I look at the fact that the Kings were struggling offensively and Mike Brown turned to Chris Duarte as an offense. To me, what we saw last night from Mike Brown is that he has 4 guys he trusts. Malik, De'Aaron, Domas, and Keegan Murray. Outside of that, it's game by game. If you got it going, he's going to rock with you. He's going to flow with you. If you don't...
No Harrison? Harrison's not in that 5?
But we've seen Harrison play 16 minutes before.
Okay.
We've seen Harrison, you know, and last night, I thought Harrison was solid. Could have knocked down some more shots. Could have had more of an impact. Played 28 minutes. But when you're without Kevin Huerter, Trey Lyles, Sasha Vezenkov, you got who else you going to turn to other than Harrison Barnes, you know, at that position. But a lot of people are saying he should have played Keon Ellis more. I'm looking at it like Keon wasn't getting it done yesterday. You look at that first quarter, and Keon was starting his first loss of the season. The Wizards were blowing by him too. And so if you're not playing defense anyway, let me turn to the offense. Let me get the offense going. But the problem is the offense wasn't going as well. And so we can get mad at Mike Brown's substitutions. I get it. But nobody stepped up. Nobody gave him a reason to play them 30 minutes. Keon Ellis was on a short lease last night for some reason. I don't know exactly why. only 2 points, only 20 minutes. But it was because they were struggling offensively. You look at the third quarter, just 22 points against this Wizards team? Come on, man. You got to be better than that. So while I understand the frustration with Mike Brown, the dude was searching for answers, I thought, yesterday. He was throwing every – like Kessler Edwards was getting major minutes late yesterday. He was throwing everything at the board hoping something would stick, Jay.
I will say this. I agree with you that he was looking for something, a rotational piece, someone, to, as you said, pinning the tail on the donkey yesterday. He was trying to figure it out. Yeah. But I will – I think people are upset in the fact of this has – the rotation has kind of not been set. And I will say this. Like, it's been set over the last five games, right?
Yep.
Like, he's played the nine when he has Trey Lyles, Kevin Huerter set. But I think he was looking for something, and it just kind of reminded people of 20 games ago, 30 games ago, where it was kind of like he was searching and trying to find something, you know?
And here we are at 13 games left. You would think that that would be all fixed. That would be all settled.
Injuries,
we would have it. But guys are injured. That brings me to my next point. De'Aaron Fox. Here's what I'll say about De'Aaron Fox and the 30 shots he took last night, Jay. Here's what I'll say for De'Aaron Fox in the 15 three-pointers that he took yesterday. I'm not mad at De'Aaron Fox, and let me tell you why. I'm not going to wake up on Friday, look at the box score and say, oh man, De'Aaron Fox took 30 shots, 15 threes, something's wrong. He didn't play. No, De'Aaron Fox, first of all, missed his first nine shots. He was struggling early, but they were good shots. Second of all, he was trying to put on his superhero cape, his Superman cape, and lead this team back to a win. Would I like him to be more selective with the three-pointers? Yes, no doubt about it. He had 13 points in the fourth quarter. He tried to will this team for a win. Now, if anything I want to complain about is that there needs to be more balanced shooting. But I don't think De'Aaron was out there gunning. I don't think he was looking like Kobe in his final game trying to get 60, Jay. I thought De'Aaron was trying to do what it took to get this team a win.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there was a couple opportunities that he missed. The shot didn't go down. I will say this, though. I would like to see De'Aaron a little more selective in the three-point shot. Mm. Like, there's a couple opportunities and times because his superpower is mid-range, getting to the cup,
speed,
blowing speed.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Take advantage of a little more and stop relying on the jumper. That's me.
Yeah, but that brings me to the next point, too. This team needs to make three-pointers. Like, this team has to shoot well. And, you know, they missed their first 11 threes, I think it was, and that gave the Wizards life, and that sort of took the Kings outside of, you know, outside of their comfort zone, if you will. You know, kind of threw them off. But I will say, Jay, Keegan Murray got to get more involved. And I don't know if it's his problem or the team's problem, but the dude was cooking early.
Mm.
He hit his first four shots in like the first 6 minutes of the game. He took seven shots the rest of the game. He's too good to disappear. He can't be another guy. He can't, no offense, be Harrison Barnes, Kevin. He has to be a stud. And you tell me, is that on Mike? Is that on De'Aaron? Is that on Keegan? How do we get this guy? Because, and I said it to start the season, Keegan Murray is the guy that takes us from good to great, and we haven't seen it enough this season.
I think it's a combination of all of them, Drapes, in my mind. I think as a coach, and we've heard every single coach come on this show and talk about how they want Keegan to shoot more. We've heard Coach Brown talk about it. We've heard Keegan even understanding, like, yeah, I need to probably get up more shots. We've heard his teammates, as you talked about, De'Aaron, Domas, Malik, everybody is yearning for Keegan to take more shots. I think it's just something that, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a mixture of everything. They're going to have to put the whole blend in the whole bowl and stir it up. And hopefully at the end, you know, a K comes out.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. You're right. And it's still time for him to grow. Jerry Reynolds talked about the growth from Peja Stojakovic's second year to third year. And that's what we're hoping to see from Keegan Murray. My last Drapes take is this. Shout out to Kessler Edwards. He was the only bright spot, I thought, yesterday. I thought his energy in that second quarter really changed the game. He got after it defensively. He was sort of like Keon Ellis out there. You know, when Keon would come in and sort of change the game defensively, it would bleed into other guys. I thought Kessler Edwards did that last night.
Shouts out to Kessler.
Give him some love, right?
Yeah, shouts out to Kessler, man. Yeah. He's been – and that's the guy you've been looking for, Drapes, not so much as – Kessler himself,
yep.
But the 6'7", 6'8", wing with the 7-foot wingspan. That's the only one they have on the Kings roster right now is Kessler Edwards.
Yes, you're right about that. So that's Drape's takes, my man. That's what I got. I started off this show by saying, you know what? This is the People Show, 916-339-1140. So we're going to get to some phone calls coming up in just a minute. But I'm still frustrated about last night because Jay made a great point. There were three or four reasons why this was the worst loss of the season. The timing, the opponent, the standings, the Pelicans, they're banged up right now. They are a wounded animal. And so forget about the sixth seed, Sacramento. You had a chance at getting closer to the fifth seed, and you let it slip. And today you wake up in the eighth seed. All right, I want to hear from you guys out there. 916-339-1140. Jay, let's just go right down the line. Let's start with Lewis on line one. You're on with Drapes and Jay, the Drive Guys, Sactown Sports, 1140. What's up,
hey,
Lewis?
Hey. Oh, nothing. Hey, Drapes. So first time I've had a chance to talk with you. I really enjoy what you do on TV and so forth. You know, love it. Here's where I'm going to go right now. I don't know, man, how we lose that one last night. I don't get it. I know it was a back-to-back. I know we got in late. I'm going to say this. When it comes to Coach Brown, there's an interesting dynamic with NBA coaches. They do well when they have good players, and then they get fired maybe when they don't, right? I'm looking at Budenholzer. I'm looking at some coaches that won Coach of the Year. Mm. Who are still unemployed right this moment, right? So Coach Brown, he's been fired a couple of times before. I've been the guy who's been – they've scoffed at me. They laugh. I'm not down with his rotation. To me, coming – you need to know what you're going to do. You've got – you know you're in Toronto. You know you're traveling to D.C. You had a blowout, this, that, yet – here you go. You have Fox taking 30 shots. Maybe this was the night Fox should have maybe been held back a little bit. I'm just going to round up with this because Lord knows, honestly, I'm on my lunch and I got to get back. But listen to this now. And this is real stuff, Drapes. What I've noticed a lot is Keegan, they ask him to post over on the right side on the three-point line. And oftentimes what happens is you've got left-handed De'Aaron Fox going left, not looking right. He's going left. You got DeMontis, a left-hander. He's going left. He's not really looking right. I see some instances where they flip it. They bring Keegan over to the left. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I don't feel like his teammates look for him, right?
I hear you, Lewis, but let me say this, Lewis. Sorry to cut you off because we're up against it. I hear you 100%. But if I'm Keegan Murray, I'm the number four overall pick. I'm the dude that you've entrusted to be a great two-way player. I'm the dude that's being empowered by the coach to let it fly. Sometimes Keegan got to put on his big boy pants and say, you know what? I hit my first four shots, and who knows what he's saying behind the scenes. Right? And he's, you know, a nice guy. He doesn't do that. But this is the NBA. We're not spoon-feeding guys out here. This is a dog-eat-dog world, Lewis. So sometimes, Keegan, I would like – we saw how Malik walked off the floor last night, and we'll talk about that coming up in a bit. I want to see a little emotion from Keegan Murray.
Man.
You know what I mean? Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's not when you're happy and everything. Just, you know, even a clap like I'm open, you know, just something, right?
Anything. Yeah. And you know, Drapes, to even piggyback on that, I was going to use the example of the game before, or excuse me, not Toronto, but the game prior to that, where Memphis, where Keegan lit the beam. And yeah. people were cracking jokes about how he just was so uninterested. He didn't even look like he wanted to be there. And that's cool. No problem with that. But I do think there is something to showing a little passion. Because I think one of the downplays for Keegan right now in the Sacramento community, and I could be wrong, but I'm just, from what I observe, is a lot of people don't feel he has the passion. And one of the things we continue to keep on asking about with this team, and I think Malik has kind of shown that, but who beyond Malik is the leader? Who's the inspirational guy?
Right.
Who's the rah-rah guy? And I think some people want to see, like, we don't know what Keegan is.
Yeah.
We don't know how he feels day to day.
And I think, Jay, too, we sort of enable that as a community. We think it's cute. We laugh. Oh, Keegan, you know.
That's
like
a great
when he
point.
Did the beam, it was like, oh, look at Keegan being Keegan. Maybe that's just who he is. I don't know. But I've talked to his dad. He used to have, an anger management problem. I guess that's the word I'm going to use. But, he used to get fiery during games. He got kicked out of practice before, kicked out of games before, and they had to reel him back in. And now it's like he's sort of, I would like to see the beast come out. A little bit, just once in a while, All right, we got much more coming up. We're going to get to your phone calls, 916-339-1140. I see them all lit up. We're going to get to them. Plus, we got Chris Mannix of SI.com joining us next. It's Drapes and Jay here on The Drive, guys, Sactown Sports, 1140. Drapes and Jay here on Sactown Sports, 1140. It's The Drive, guys, here on a Friday afternoon. Got the weekend. I'm sure everybody got big plans this weekend. Back in town, I might want try and get out some golf on Sunday, maybe. So anybody on the link Sunday, hit me up.
Shout out to Kirkland.
Yep. Oh, I got to tell you a Kirkland story. I got an update, Jay, on the Kirkland situation coming up in just a little bit. But let me get my guy, Chris Mannix from SI.com, jumping on with Drapes and Jay on Sactown Sports 1140. Chris, first of all, happy you're deciding to join us, man. I forgot you did basketball. You write so much about boxing, big fella. Don't forget about your first love, basketball.
No, Draper, so much to say to you. So much. first, let me say how proud I am of you to talk about your issues with alcohol. I thought that was a great story. And as someone that's known you for a long time, I thought that was great. I thought that was really impressive. I'm really happy for you. I also would like to let you know that as a reliable League Pass consumer, you have officially jumped to the top of the list of the whiniest play-by-play guys in the league. I can't remember the game it was, but you spent the vast majority of the game complaining about the referees. I have never heard a broadcaster complain about the referees.
You didn't watch Tommy Heinsohn growing up? You didn't watch Tommy Heinsohn growing up?
No, Tommy is in a category unto himself.
Okay.
Tommy gets that. But current active broadcasters, you take the cake. And just one last thing, as someone that speaks fluent Draper, when he says hit me up if you're on the links, that is code for if you're a member of a nice golf club, invite me so I can play at that golf club.
100%. 100%. I don't do the crappy public ones. No, I'm joking. I'll tell you what, Chris, you're the only one I let get away with coming on the show and throwing slander at me. And so you should feel honored. Let's talk basketball, though, because a lot of Kings fans frustrated right now. Horrible loss last night against Washington, the Wizards, the worst team in the NBA. And I look at the jumble that the Kings find themselves in with the Phoenix Suns, the Dallas Mavericks, battling for that sixth seed, hopefully trying to catch the Pelicans at 5. Where do you see Sacramento in that mix and their chances of making the playoffs and staying away from the play-in?
I mean, the Herter injury is tough, right? That's a hard one to get past. I've been enthused generally about how Sacramento's defense has played, since the All-Star break. I think they're 11th in efficiency since the break. But, losing a guy like Herter with that kind of injury, I just don't know how in a competitive conference like the Kings are in, how you get past that or how you can succeed in spite of that. Because the margins are so thin here in the conference where one injury, even if it's not to one of your top two or three guys, can tip the balance significantly. And in the case of Sacramento, be the difference between a spot in the playoffs or a spot in the play-in. So when I saw that news of the extent of that injury, Yeah, that just made me a lot more pessimistic about the Kings' chances to stay in that playoff mix and ultimately succeed when they get there.
Chris Mannix joining us, SI.com. You're on with Drapes and Jay here, Sactown Sports 1140. I hear you, Chris, with that. And you know, I'm 100% with you because I think what Kevin Huerter brings, first of all, he's 6'7". People forget that.
Yeah.
He's 6'7". And just even the threat of him as an offensive player, a shooter, means so much. And so when you lose a guy like that, no offense to Keon Ellis, no offense to Chris Duarte and Davion, teams don't have to pay as much attention. They don't have to hug up on those guys as much. And so I think, to your point, the Kevin Huerter injury is a lot more significant than people think.
Yeah, you know, look, if you look at the sheer numbers, it's 25 minutes, 10 points. But to your point, so much more than that. When you've got a guy, you know, 38% three-point shooter who, you know, you have to game plan for. It just creates so much more spacing for Sabonis and Fox and everybody that's trying to do different things on the floor. It's just that's just a really hard injury to get past. I mean, Malik Monk is going to be at the last more of him, and he's been fantastic this year. I think I haven't thought too much about the six-man vote yet, but he's unquestionably right up there at the top of the ballot. But, you know, again, the competitiveness of the conference just makes one injury or you know, one setback magnified that much more. So it's going to take a lot for Sacramento to stay out of that play-in mix. And when they get there, I mean, look, you're probably going to be facing the Warriors, the Lakers, you know. It's not like you're placing the Atlanta Hawks in the play-in of the Eastern Conference. You're facing a tough, established team once you get into that play-in, and nothing is guaranteed there either.
No, you're right. Chris Mannix joining us, SI.com. Chris, you might mention Malik Monk. Obviously, you know, the concern here in Sacramento is his impending free agency. He can walk after this year. There's only so much the Kings can offer him. When you look at what he does for Sacramento, how important is he going forward, and what do you think the market is going to be like for him this offseason?
I actually think it's going to be a robust market because, you know, there are a couple of contenders with money to burn this summer. And top of my head, I think of in the Eastern Conference, you've got Philadelphia, which we know is going to have north of $40 million in available cap space. And Orlando is a team that's going to have some financial flexibility this summer. Those two teams that you are going to, they're going to need an upgrade like Malik Monk would bring to the table. And I think they're going to be threats to make him a big offer to ultimately sign him. So there is going to be a competitive market for Malik Monk this summer, who over the last two seasons has established himself as one of the premier six men in the NBA. And when you have, you know, teams in the East that are looking to make one more move to get themselves that next level, he's the type of guy I think they'll look at pretty strong.
Yeah, that's what we're worried about right here. The Kings may have to open up the checkbook to keep Malik Monk, and it's only so much they could do, Chris. You know, what's interesting, you know, when I was taking a job here in Sacramento, you're one of the people I talked to, and we talked about just where the Kings were, their standing in the league. Since Mike Brown's come in these last couple of years, from a national standpoint, because we still feel like the Kings aren't getting respect. We could talk about Domas not making the All-Star team, De'Aaron Fox not making the All-Star team. What's a national view of the Sacramento Kings right now?
I mean, I think they got their respect last season. And they've had a comparable year. Like, they're not sitting in that, you know, 2-3 range like they were last year, but that's a reflection more of where the conference is than where anything Sacramento has done wrong this year. So I think they're respected as a contender. I mean, people looked at this team and said, are they going to improve that defense year after year? And look, they are a top half or right around the middle of the pack defensive team this year that made strides there. As I mentioned, 11th in the NBA in efficiency since the All-Star break. So I think they get general respect. And I think if they were at full strength, you know, they'd be a team that, I don't know if you'd pick them to win depending on the matchup, but they would be right there as a threat to win at least a first round series. So I think they get a measure of respect that they haven't had in years past based on last season. It's just, you know, are you going to pick them to beat Denver in the first round? Probably not. I mean, are you going to pick them to beat Oklahoma City? Probably not. There's just so many good teams in the Western Conference right now that it's just tough to match up.
Joined by Chris Mannix of SI and, of course, the love of the sweet science. So, you know, I have love for him. Chris, kind of piggybacking on that question that Drapes threw at you, I think one of the conundrums that people here in Sacramento have is we don't see national guys like yourself enough. You know, they come out to L.A. Of course, we see him down the road, down, you know, I-80 and checking out the Warriors. Can you speak to that? And I know, listen, you cover boxing, you cover basketball, you do it all. Sometimes we see you doing other things, too. You're getting that check. Congratulations. But with that being said, speak to, like, sometimes as a national reporter not being able to come to Sacramento, because I think a lot of people have problems with that.
Yeah, I can understand that. And there was a lot of that when it came to Denver over the last couple of years, right, where they weren't getting the attention they deserved as an elite team from the national media writ large. I certainly think the national media, myself included, could do a better job of covering the Kings on a day-to-day basis. Why? I mean, the reason that people write so much about the Lakers is that there is a measurable interest in what the Lakers are doing day after day. I mean, on ESPN, they're not talking about the Lakers because they like it. They're talking about because the numbers that the audience, you know, whether it's YouTube or television ratings, shows that people are interested in it. Same thing with the Warriors, a legacy team that that people just have a natural interest in. And I think the Kings, while they're really good, they're not quite there yet where they've registered that kind of day-to-day level of attention. They certainly are worthy of it. I mean, what Fox has done the last couple of years is amazing. What Sabonis has done the last couple of years, really establishing himself as a tentpole player that you can build a championship team around, is amazing. Malik Monk, I think Malik Monk deserves a lot more attention than he's getting. I mean, he's probably going to get the respect in terms of sixth man voting, but what a turnaround for this guy over the last couple of years, who was effectively sort of shrugged at by the Lakers, you know, a couple of years ago. So I think they've got the stories that should be talked about. It's just, for whatever reason, it doesn't generate the same kind of attention that those, you know, quote-unquote legacy teams are getting.
Chris, my final question here, man. When you look at the West, and you touched on it, I believe it's matchup-driven in that first round. What are some favorable matchups you think for Sacramento? You mentioned OKC. I actually like the Kings against Oklahoma City. They're inexperienced, you know, they're kind of thin a little bit. What are some of the matchups? If I'm Sacramento, I'm like, all right, I want to avoid Denver. Everybody should want to avoid Denver. But are there any favorable matchups you see?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't want Denver. There's no doubt about that. I don't think I'd want the Clippers either in the first round, especially if they're coming in fully healthy. I've watched a lot of Clippers games in LA this year. And when they're fully healthy, they're really, really good. I mean, Kawhi has played at an MVP level this year. That's probably not one I want in the first round either. The two I'd want is, one, I would take the Oklahoma City matchup because of what you're saying, right? Like, the first time for most of these guys in the playoffs, you know, history suggests that there is a learning curve. Like, we saw it with Sacramento this past year when they played Golden State in the first round. So there's a learning curve there for first year playoff teams. And maybe for the Kings, you can take advantage of that. I mean, on the flip side of it, they're incredibly good at almost everything in Oklahoma City, you know, aside from rebounding. So it will be a tough matchup on paper. I would say the matchup I would want the most, though, is the Minnesota matchup, because right now we have no idea when Karl Anthony Towns is going to come back. And if he comes back in time for the postseason, I'm skeptical he's going to be the guy he was before he went out. I think there's going to be a ramp up process for him to getting back to where he once was, to getting reintegrated with that team. And that could be something Sacramento in the first round could take advantage of. So there are some winnable matchups there. That's what, like I was saying, I don't think it's like you look at them in the first round, say they're going to get beat no matter what. But if you can avoid Denver, if you can avoid the Clippers, great. If you get Minnesota, I think that's the best. In Oklahoma City, certainly there's a reason to be optimistic you can win a series like that.
Chris Mannix, SI.com. Thank you so much for your kind words to start this segment as well. 7 years strong, your boy is in, continuing to fight. Appreciate you, Chris.
Let me know if anybody lets you on the golf course, because that was as shameless a shill as I've heard today.
I've already had three or four texters and people on the YouTube say, Drapes, let's get it done. So, dude, I'm a man of the people here in Sacramento. In Boston, I was just one of many. Here, I'm a big fish, big dog.
If I had to hear man of the people one more time, I have that drilled in my brain from you from years on the NBC set.
All right, Chris, man. We'll catch up. Thanks, bro.
You got it, guys.
All right, Chris Mannix, SI.com, joining the Drive Guys. Sactown Sports, 1140. Coming up next, back to the phone lines. We got Will hanging on, Tim hanging on, 916-339-1140. It's Drapes and Jay here, back here on Sactown Sports, 1140. Drapes and Jay holding it down on the Drive Guys here. Reacted to Sacramento's loss. Kings lost last night to the Washington freaking Wizards.
The Bullets.
Yeah, Bullets, right? The Bullets, right? Remember back in the day, this might be before your time. It might even be before. Bullets fans, Wizards fans used to show up to the game with
the brown paper bags on their head, the satchel
on their heads. And we lost to those jokers.
Man, that's the grocery sack.
The grocery sack. Ugh. Hey, I just got a text about something. I don't know if I should go public with it, but I'm going to go public. What they say, Jay, you're always supposed to do it and then ask for forgiveness. Afterwards. I'm hearing that the Thursday, April 4th game at New York against the Knicks will be a TNT game.
Ooh.
We've been talking about, you know, trying to get more national attention, trying to get more national love, national games. I'm hearing that the Kings at Knicks game is going to be TNT nationally televised that day.
Sacramento, Sacramento, where you at?
So don't quote me on that, Jay.
Listen,
I'm just saying.
Inside sources
inside
tell
sources,
you, maybe.
Right.
A high percentage.
Me. And I don't know how I feel about that, because that means I get off from the TV. No pre and post, no play-by-play.
Yeah, that's kind of, for you, I could see why.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
For us, it's huge. It's like, oh, we national.
Yeah.
We just had Chris Mannix on from SI talking to him. And
yeah.
You asked him a couple of questions about, you know, national opinion and
yep.
narrative. And for the Kings to continue to get that type of respect, and not forget, we just saw the matchup they had with the Knicks. It was elbows.
Heated.
I mean, like, so I think it's a good move by the NBA to flex their muscles and put that that Kings-Knicks game in there.
Yeah, April 4th, Kings at Knicks, TNT. Let's get back to the phone lines, Jay, 916-339-1140. Will, you've been hanging on. You're on with Drapes and Jay. What's happening, man?
What's up, man? I'm down, kind of down in the dumps. You know, I'm glad it's not on April Fool's Day, man. Ain't no telling what we're going to do out there on the court.
Come on, wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. This is my boy, Will. I've never heard Will not fired up. Will.
Right, he down in the dumps right now, right?
Let's do this call over again. We're going to race it. Come with it, Will. Come on, baby.
All right, Will, what you got for us?
Jay, look, man, we've been talking about this all season. Look. I used to call in and rat on it. With all due respect, the guy from SSI, man, I could care less what he says, man. You know what I'm saying?
SSI.
All these national
he said
guys,
SSI.
All I care about is Drapes and the wise guys and Whitey and all you guys and Jay. I don't care about them guys, them national guys. They don't like us, man. He put on a good face, but they you ever watch ESPN after we blow somebody out? They don't say nothing, man, or TNT. Man, I get tired of that. But anyway, here's my take.
Let's do
here's
it, Will.
Here's my take, KD. Here's my take. It's on the players, man. Look, Fox knew he wasn't hitting. And Fox got to learn how to make the referees call fouls for him. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
KD. Look.
Yep.
Steph Curry, you got guard Brunson, you got guards that if they need to get a bucket, if
Shea
they need
Gilgis,
to get
the, Shea Gilgis, Shea Alexander?
Yes. You can't just be getting ticky-tack fouls and crying about it. Make them call it. And then with the you guys talking about a local a vocal leader. My man, De'Aaron has to be a vocal leader, man. He has to talk to his players on the court. I barely see him talk. He might point his finger here or there saying something, you know, but he's got to be a vocal leader if guys are not playing. And then we got soft guys, man. We can't just put it on Murray. I mean, I've never seen HB foul somebody hard, you know, Sabonis, every now and then Sabonis. And then Sabonis had 6 turnovers yesterday, man. He gets frustrated. And then he, you know, he flails, man. We got to stop. And then when we got those 2 leads, we caught up and took the lead twice. Yep. And then we threw the ball away 2 or 3
gave
times.
It
you
right
know,
back.
Trying to throw long passes. They're not smart, man. Let's just be smart. Let's be honest about it. They make dumb plays, you know, throwing long passes when it's not necessary. They never foul anybody hard. And Kuzma, he scored about 5 layups, man. He
right.
would get by
yeah.
Murray. Nobody was stopping. Domas would just look the other way. They got to get smart, man, or else we're going to miss the play-in.
All right, well. Appreciate you, man. Now he came with the smoke afterwards, Jay. He had to get corrected.
Yeah.
You know, like a little adrenaline in his veins, but he came correct after that.
Yeah, Will's normally fired up when I'm on the phone with him. You know,
right.
So that wasn't the Will I knew. So I knew we had to, you know, reshuffle the deck and let Will, you know, get in golf.
Oh, a mulligan.
A mulligan. There you go.
Do-over.
I couldn't think of a
right.
do-over. I wanted to be fancy with the word a mulligan. You know, I'm not a golf guy.
You're not a golf guy. Yeah. You know, you don't play that game, right?
That's
it's a
hobby.
Game, right?
It's
a hobby. All right, we got much more with Drapes and Jay coming up on Sactown Sports 1140. I told you, Sacramento, this is your day, your chance to vent. We're going to hit up social media as well. Check out the text line 916-339-1140. Hit us up, the Drive Guys, on Sactown Sports 1140.
On the move.